all the cunning or persuasion in the world will not win him to Christ unless the Holy Spirit is at work in his heart, drawing him to himself.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We continue our study of the theme of personal evangelism. For several weeks, we've been discussing this concept. We've looked at the very beginning of our study at the concept of preparing for biblical evangelism. We've seen that there are two basic ideas that are essential to that preparation. One, there were some essential motivations that we sought to convey. And then, looking at the essential method, we saw that there were two prongs to that method. One, there was the necessity of building a living contact with men. And then secondly, and underlying that, we saw the necessity of building a living contact with God. Now, if I can shift gears for a moment, I want to go to a little more practical approach to this issue of personal evangelism. We've looked already at the concepts of preparing for evangelism, the essential motives, and the essential methods. Now we need to look for a moment at some practical principles of evangelism. May I suggest that the evangelistic efforts of many Christians are ineffective because they are so diffuse. We have a tendency to spread ourselves too thin. Many Christians make the mistake of trying to evangelize everybody, and they end up winning nobody. The time and the energy required in praying and working for the conversion and then the consolidation, and we're responsible for both, not just leading a man to Christ, but then discipling him and bringing him to maturity in Christ. The time and the energy required in praying and working for the conversion and consolidation of only one soul are so vast that not many of us will feel it our duty to spread our net very wide. We shall concentrate on one or two or perhaps three at a time. And may I suggest that this is an approach that I believe is consistent with the biblical principle of reproduction via multiplication rather than addition. When we engage in multiplication, what we're doing is involving other people in the process. Addition is doing the work all by ourselves. Multiplication may reduce our personal statistics, but done rightly, it will increase our corporate statistics. As more people become involved in the evangelistic process, more people will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this is biblical. I believe that's what's unfolding in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in verse 2. As I look at that, I see four levels of evangelism. Level 1, the Apostle Paul. Level 2, Timothy. Level 3, faithful men. And level 4, others also. Paul influenced Timothy. Timothy influenced faithful men. Faithful men influenced others also. It goes all the way back to the top of the pile. It goes back to Paul. One man ultimately multiplied his influence by touching one other man. Paul influenced Timothy. Timothy influenced faithful men. These faithful men influenced others also. The whole concept of reproduction via multiplication as opposed to addition is a biblical and a very powerful concept. Let me give you an example. If you were to lead 1,000 souls a day to the Lord Jesus Christ, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? What a joy and what a thrill that would be. You know what I mean that would be? That would be 365,000 souls a year. If you were to lead 1,000 souls a day to Christ, you know how long it would take you to win the whole world? 11,507 years. We'll never make it. But, on the other hand, if you were to lead only 3 souls to Christ in 1 year, if you were to lead 3 souls to Christ in 1 year, and disciple them, to lead one person each a year, with each of their converts doing the same. Do you know, if you were to do that, lead 3 souls to Christ and teach them to do the same, and encourage them to teach their converts to do the same, that in the space of 33 years, you could win triple the world's population. The whole concept of multiplication versus addition, multiplying our influence by influencing other people, involving them in the evangelistic process, is a biblical and a very practical concept. We multiply our outreach by involving more and more people in the evangelistic process, in their regular connections of life, as they focus upon a select group of perhaps 1 or 2 or at the most 3, either individuals or couples, with a strategy to bring them to Christ. But if we are to successfully complete this great task, it will mean that we must be marked by fidelity to several significant principles. We will need at least 2 things. Let me give them to you briefly. 1, we will need a concentrated method. This is a more practical method now. We will need a concentrated method. And then, secondly, we will need a concentrated message. Now, may I suggest a concentrated method for your becoming involved in the evangelistic process? You're selecting, as a married couple or as an individual, 1 or 2 or 3 individuals or couples that you intend to begin to focus upon with an evangelistic strategy to ultimately bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give to you a concentrated method for reaching them. I think there are 4 steps in a concentrated method. 1, we shall try to win his friendship. That's 1. We shall try to win his friendship. It's fairly safe to say that it is hard to win somebody's soul until we have first won his confidence, if not his friendship. That's particularly true in this day and age when there are so many cults out and about. It's fairly safe to say that it is hard to win somebody's soul unless we have first won his confidence. As a general rule, we cannot preach Christ as a professional undertaking, like a doctor prescribes a medicine. Bringing a man to a saving knowledge of Christ is dealing with eternal matters. It is a deeply personal matter between 2 people. It will require our winning his confidence and his friendship. And developing those things will cost us. I don't have to amplify this point because I've already preached it. It will cost us our selfishness. If we're going to develop confidence in the lost so that we can convey to them the message of the gospel, if we're going to develop a friendship with them, as Jesus did in the New Testament era, it will cost us our selfishness because it requires sacrificial and creative energy, and selfish people will never yield up that kind of energy. And it will cost us our sin because it will mean that we have to clean up our act as we get close to them for evangelistic purposes. We must go out of our way to get to know our friend. Do you have somebody in your mind right now that you can visualize in your mind's eye, that you can begin to work with on this basis? We must go out of our way to get to know our friend. It may involve spending time with him. It may involve inviting him over to our home for a meal or several meals. It may involve cultivating his interests. It involves doing whatever is necessary, short of compromise of biblical principles, doing whatever is necessary to open the door of witness. That's what Paul did. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 33, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. 1 Corinthians 10 in verse 33. You see, this business of winning the lost to Christ is a complicated business. It involves a deep commitment. It involves expending energy and time and creative powers to introduce them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's much more than learning the plan of salvation and parroting it back on significant occasions. It involves doing everything that we possibly can to introduce a lost man to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this must never be done artificially, as a thinly disguised pretext for preaching Christ to him later. It must never be done artificially. It must always be done genuinely, because we are really interested in him for his own sake. He's a creature made in God's image in true Christian love. And I believe that's exactly what Jesus did. The Bible says that Jesus ate with publicans and sinners, Matthew 9:11. The Bible says that he was called a friend of publicans and sinners, Matthew 11:19. The Bible says that men came to say of Jesus, this man receives sinners, Luke 15 and verse 2. That's exactly what we ought to do if we want to be involved in the evangelistic process. Here is a concentrated method. 1, we shall try to win his friendship. You see, it's not an easy business. You see, it involves creativity. You see, it means that I must spend and be spent. I must involve time and energy and creativity if I want to win the lost to the Lord Jesus Christ. One, we should try to win his friendship. Two, we shall pray for him. All the cunning or persuasion or love, for that matter, in the world will not win him to Christ unless the Holy Spirit is at work in his heart, drawing him to himself. Even Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." John 6, in verse 44. May I suggest that the hand of God, which gently moves the sinner toward Christ, the hand of God, which gently moves the sinner toward Christ, is released into activity by our prayers. We shall pray for him, just as those four friends. Remember in Mark 2, those four friends brought that paralytic on that stretcher, and they laid him at Jesus' feet. Just as they did that, so we must bring our friend into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. And the Bible says that it was when Jesus saw their faith, it was when Jesus saw their faith that he pronounced the paralytic's sin forgiven. You read it in Mark, the second chapter, in verse 5. Not just the faith of the paralytic, he had faith, but also the faith of those who had brought that paralytic into the presence of Jesus. And when Jesus sees our faith expressed in tenacious, persevering prayer for those who need to come to Christ, when Jesus sees our faith, he will respond. The hand of God, which draws a man to the Lord Jesus Christ, is released into activity through the powerful prayers of God's people. Haphazard prayer, when the mood takes us, will be unavailing. We shall need to be systematic. We shall need to be definite. We shall need to be persevering in our prayers. It will likely be necessary to have a prayer list to remedy our natural lack of discipline. And we shall need to learn to brood over that list faithfully in prayer. I believe it's right here in this ministry of prayer that the genuineness of our Christian love for Christ and the lost will be tested. Do you really love the lost? Do you really love the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you really asking him to reduplicate in your life the burden he had for those who so desperately needed him while he walked upon this globe? If you really love the lost, it will be tested here in this ministry of prayer. If you really do, you will commit yourself to this ministry of prayer for those who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no glamour attached to this service. We always want to be involved in the glamour and the spectacular end of the ministry. There's no glamour attached to this service. We shall receive no commendation from men. It will be our secret service. No one will even know that we're engaging in it. It will be our secret service, but without it, there will be no souls coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The great task of a witness for Jesus Christ is to convince a man that he, like all other men, is a sinner, and then share with him these powerful, devastating consequences of sin.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.